commitment in whatever you do, whatever you choose in life, whatsoever. For now, like I set my goal with the Eiffel Tower, I want to play in front of the Eiffel Tower in a few years, and mm-hmm. I cannot achieve that if I don't go for my goal, if I don't commit to the plan that I have. And of course, sometimes I snack, eat a pizza, or I don't want to go training whatsoever. Everybody has that. But in the end, the main goal is you want to go there. Yeah. And how do you get there? Yeah, just fix your way, fix your path, do whatever you like. But in the end, for me, there's one thing, and that's Paris. And mm-hmm. I'm going for that.
Hello everybody, and welcome back, or welcome to the 23rd episode of the Volley Talk podcast. My name is Tasha and I am your host for today. I hope that you guys have been doing well and enjoying the podcast, because I definitely enjoy making them a lot. If you don't know who our guest for today is, are you even a true beach volleyball fan? No, but seriously, this guy has come out of nowhere, suddenly winning the Gestart tournament, getting silver in European champs, and beating lots of top teams in the world. Don't take it in the wrong way when I say out of nowhere, but just last year before the lockdown, we were at the same one-star tournament in Langkawi, and 1 year later, he's one of the best players in the world. So naturally, I was super curious to find out how he did it, so I had to make a podcast episode with him. It turns out he's actually a really chill and cool guy who is willing to share his knowledge, and I'm really glad that I got a chance to speak to him. So, without further ado, I present to you Stefan Boermans from the Netherlands. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the podcast.
Hoe gaat het, Stefan?
Yeah, it's actually pretty good. Shall I do it in Dutch or in English?
You can do both if you want.
I'll keep it for English. It's a little bit easier. Yeah, no, I'm actually doing good. Like you just said, I'm not in Ibiza anymore. I had a little holiday in Spain twice, one in at volley tours at a beach camp, and one for myself, just a holiday. Mm-hmm. Now I'm back home. I started training yesterday again, and from next week on, we will also do ball sessions, and then our winter program will start again. So mm-hmm. excited for that.
Yeah, your holiday looked a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was. It was. Just relax, chill a little, get recovered, mm-hmm. and then get back to work now.
Now back to work, huh? Okay, so is this like pre-season for you?
Yeah, kind of. We will start next week, like with the new coach, Michiel van der Kuip. He was a former coach of the Belgian team. Now he's at the Netherlands again, because he's also Dutch himself. And with him and Rein de Numedor, the other coach, we will start the winter program, and then hopefully we'll make some good results next year again.
Yeah. So we have a lot of questions to ask you, so shall we begin?
Yeah, sure, let's go.
Okay, so Stefan, who is Stefan Boermans in a tweet?
In a tweet, Stefan Boermans is a Dutch player. He started playing beach volleyball when he was 19, and now he started indoor volleyball when he's 19, beach volleyball when I was 21, 22 ish. And last year, I made my World Tour debut in the main draw with Jorik de Groot for the first time ever. And we did a pretty good season and finished off second in the Europeans and first in Gestart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's about 140 characters, maybe.
I think so.
It's a quick summary.
Okay, so you started indoor volleyball at the age of 19. That is a pretty late age to start volleyball and achieve so much success at your age now. Can you explain the whole story of how you started?
Well, I always played soccer, like for 15 years, but then I didn't have that much fun anymore in the sports itself. So I decided to switch. First of all, I didn't know what to do. And my former girlfriend at the time, she like pushed me kind of into volleyball. And I started then, and I actually had a lot of fun, and then I trained so much that we even broke up, because I was like so into volleyball. And from there on, it went just up and up, and indoor it was crazy. It went really fast indoor in the Dutch league, in the top league. I was with one of the top teams in the Netherlands. And then I also switched to beach volleyball, and I got my successes one after the other. And yeah, it's been an amazing ride so fast, but in the end, I enjoyed beach volleyball a little bit more than the indoor volleyball. That's why I committed to beach volleyball only. Mm. And now, after a few years, I can think and can say that was a good choice for me.
So how long exactly have you been playing beach volleyball?
This was my fourth season.
Only your fourth year.
Yeah.
That's kind of crazy.
No, yeah, like you say, yeah, it's crazy. It's been a fast ride. And a few years ago, I started with a good friend of mine in the Netherlands, just a little bit beach volleyball besides indoor volleyball. And then I, after the year, I got a partner with who I played like tournaments. And from there, I got into the Dutch league. Then I played internationally. And now I'm with Jorik. And yeah, we are having an amazing season and continuing for the Paris Olympics, hopefully.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looks like a really, really great ride. So for the listeners wondering, how tall are you exactly?
I'm 204 in centimeters.
So that's about six, eight.
Yeah,
something like that,
I
right?
think 6'7", something like that. Yeah, I Googled it a few weeks ago, but now I honestly cannot remember exactly. But 204 in centimeters.
Yeah, that is crazy. I remember when I met you in Langkawi last year, I was just like...
It's a little high difference. Yeah.
Yeah, not, it's not a little, it's a lot. Right. So now, you know, like you said, it's been a really fast ride and everything. So who or what inspires you the most along this journey?
Actually, there is not one person or somebody who inspires me. It's more like the goal of achieving the most that I can achieve for myself. Behind me, I have the Eiffel Tower, as you can see, like mm-hmm, here, mm-hmm. as a goal for the next few years to achieve the Olympics in Paris. And that's actually my goal thing that I'm working on to go there. And everything on that road, which I will hopefully achieve in a good way, is just a part of the road, but still... I don't have like one person that I look up to or that's my like inspiration whatsoever. It's just I'm having fun in what I do. I'm doing it in a good way, at mm-hmm. least this season, and yeah. hope to continue it in the next few years.
Yeah, I think that's so cool to hear that you're just focusing on the process, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just develop myself as good as I can and work hard for it. But yeah, I'm having fun and it's working out so far.
Mm-hmm. So... You know, you've only been playing beach volleyball for about 4 years now, but have you had any challenges along the way and what lesson did it teach you?
Yeah, well, I had some injuries. A lot of persons, of course, always have some kind of injuries. I also had mine, and to overcome an injury, to come back stronger, that's a hard road, or how do you say that? Yeah, it's a difficult path you have to walk along, but in the end, everybody... does it in their own way. I took a few months like not off, but to like recover myself as good as possible and come back, and I did well enough to start off this season with Jorik in Doha, Qatar, and from there on I was fit enough and only had one thing: when I'm fit, I want to be even fitter, better, mm-hmm. and just make the best version of myself. And yeah, I don't know. A few years ago, I also had an injury in indoor volleyball for my knee. Last year, I had a little scooter accident with a car that the car drove into me that I was out for a few months. So, Of course, everybody has their own things to work with, but I had mine and I deal with mine the way I do. But for everybody, it's different.
Do you mind sharing the way you deal with it?
Well, in the beginning, I used a lot of like fast food snacks, Netflix on bed, and didn't want to do anything. Like I was a little demotivated, like, okay, yeah. Well, injury, cannot do anything, so mm-hmm. why not eat? But then when I was able to start moving again, I was like, hey, now I can do something, so I got to push for it, work for it. And I have a really good group of coaches around me, strength and conditioning trainer, the coaches themselves, also my teammate Jorik, but also the other guys in the Dutch team, they like help me out if possible. And yeah, that was a real good help. People around me, of course, that wanted me also to come back on the level that we could play. We knew mm-hmm. we could play already last year. It's just we had to deliver it in official matches, and in the end we did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's amazing. So okay, so now let's take a mini game break and I'm going to ask you a few of the best ever questions. So, Stefan, which is the best ever match that you've ever played?
Yeah, I can only say the Gestad final.
Mm-hmm.
It's so far the best. Yeah, it's the highest level against Qatar. It was crazy. We won in the end our first mm-hmm. gold medal, our first medal on the World Tour as a team, our first gold medal. The cowbell history yeah. for the Netherlands, because no other Dutch team has ever managed to win Gestad before in the 17, 18 years history of Gestad. So that was very special for us. And that will always be like my number one, my like breakthrough, like mm-hmm. really, really good tournament. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If there's one competition to win, it's the Gstaad tournament.
Yeah,
right?
It was crazy. It was crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, I watched it. It was really, really amazing. And yeah, it was just so much fun to watch the crowd and everything because like previously at all the tournaments, there wasn't much crowd, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that was the first tournament again that there was actually the crowd available at the center court. At the side court, there was nobody. That wasn't mm-hmm. allowed. In the center court, there was a whole stadium. And to be honest, I cannot say how many people there were, but at least 1,500, maybe 2,000 even.
Damn.
It was a lot of people. And then Vienna even topped it with the crowd. They had mm-hmm. even a little bit more. There we got, unfortunately, second. But still, we lost to the Olympic champion. So that's not that bad. But Gstaad is my favorite.
Yeah, amazing. So, okay, which leads me to my next question, which is the best ever team that you played against.
Yeah, well, in the moment, the Norwegians, of course, they are the best team in the world. They win everything they can win. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's easy. I can make a long story about it, but it's the Norwegians at the moment. Yeah.
Okay, so how does it feel like playing against them? You know, like because they're the top team in the world.
Yeah, you want to beat everybody. It's not like you only want to beat the number one team. You want to beat every team. So mm-hmm. every match we prepare the same way. And yeah, we were just like hoping for the best, bring out our A game. And as you could see, we were leading 11-8 in the third set.
Yeah.
So until that moment, we were doing a heck of a job. We were doing everything we could. We were leading against the Olympic champions. We were close there. And then in the end, Anders Moll showed how to block. And then, yeah. It weren't mistakes of us, it were like points for him. So that's mm-hmm. credits to him. And of course, it's what makes him the best player at the moment. But yeah, hopefully next year we can beat them, but also many other teams. It's not about mm-hmm. only beating the Norwegians, it's about beating everybody and winning tournaments.
Yeah, that's very true.
But of course, they are a tough one to beat.
Yeah. So, I think you already answered this, but which is the best ever venue that you competed in?
The venue, I think from my feeling, well, of course the Gstaad tournament, it's really beautiful over there, but like the feeling of Vienna, the crowd, the atmosphere, the songs that were played at the stadium, I have a little bit more like of a I don't know, energized feeling in mm-hmm. Vienna, but the Gstaad, like the mountains, everything around, yeah, mm-hmm. they both have something special. But let's not forget about Cancun, like the beach, mm-hmm. the blue water, it's I've been on so many crazy locations, Ostrava in the old factory. It's hard to compare because every one of them is unique in their own way. So
yeah.
I just hope that I can go back to them next year or in the years after. Yeah, just go there again and enjoy that.
Yeah, that's the best part about being a beach volleyball player, huh?
That's one of the good parts. Yeah, you have to travel a lot. You're far from home, but you also see some nice places around the world that you normally wouldn't see. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, okay, I know that you've probably played against a lot of great teams already, but if there was one team that you could play against, like in the past or present, who would it be?
Who would it be? I would maybe play Reine Nummerdor, Richard Schell. The one of the best teams the Netherlands also ever had.
Mm-hmm.
Like Reiner is now my coach, of course, but when he was in his prime with Richard Schuil together, I just recently had a call with Richard before this. So yeah, if we were both in our prime and we could play against them, that would be like maybe a real nice one to try out and see how it goes. Sometimes Reiner even jumps in practices, like standing games, or he helps out a little bit. He plays with us, but in like a real match, him and Richard, I would really like to see how that would go.
Yeah, I think it's interesting to see how like the game has developed, you know, like if you could actually, there was a match that you could play against them when they were in their prime and now and could see the difference, that would be so interesting.
Yeah, that would be real nice. Unfortunately, we can't, but that would be maybe one of the most fun ones to try out. Yeah,
mm-hmm, that would be cool. So, Stefan, speaking about competition, do you have any pre-competition routine?
Yeah, the way that I prepare like my bag before we leave the hotel room to the courts was make sure I fill my water bottle up first, and I make sure that I'm wearing my pants and everything. So I have like, it's not like I have to do it, but it's just like automatically, okay, yeah. I do this first, then I do that, and then when I'm ready, I always like double check, okay, do I have everything?
Same, yeah.
And yeah, it happened before that I like forgot the ball to warm up. That was like stupid, because how can you play beach volleyball without the ball? So stuff like that happened before and you learn from it. But yeah, I think I have a small like rhythm thing that I always do over again.
Mm-hmm, yeah, I feel like the moment you start filling up your bottle, you start changing to your clothes, then you get into that's the like, routine.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Like yeah. Game time.
Yeah, exactly. Game time.
Okay. So, you know, like just now you mentioned about the Vienna finals, you were leading 11-8, and in competition, there'll definitely be times where the score is tight or you're in a tough situation. So what is going through your mind at that time?
Yeah, actually, to be honest, not that much. I'm more of a emotional guy in court. Like I'd like to play and interact with the crowd if possible and get my energy from there.
Okay, wait, I need to say something first. That's why you have so many cool photos.
I don't know. Yeah, maybe a little bit, but that's like more a result of the way that I like to play, like to interact with the crowd, to get them hyped up, to get hyped up myself a little bit more. And if I'm in a bad situation or if I'm under pressure whatsoever, most of the time I ask my partner for help to help out in any way he can and the other way around also. But we've only been playing for 1 year together, so we're still getting to learn each other better and better, even though we're doing great, but still there's a lot of room for improvement. And also in different scenarios in the match, we just talk about it after the game and then say, okay, what can we do next time to make it better? And most of the time it's just us or each other helping each other out instead of finding my own way, you know, asking him to help me or whatsoever. So the most of the time that I'm in a shit situation, Jorik is the one who helps me out. Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's so cool. So having a good partner is really important then.
It's the most important thing. Without a good partner, you can't even play.
Yeah. So speaking about Jorik, he's really young, right?
Yeah, he just turned 21 a few weeks now, months ago. But yeah, 21. Yeah, he's pretty young. He did a good job already in the youth tournaments, like the under 20 Europeans. He won the youth Olympic Games 2018. He got silver. He's done impressive stuff for somebody at his age and being already on this top level. Yeah, for me, I'm playing beach volleyball not that long as that he does, but I'm already older, like my body is maybe more developed whatsoever. But what he's doing, it's incredible. I'm really glad to have him as a defender behind me. Yeah.
So how did you guys partner?
Within the national team, they already had him as a defender in the program, and I was training with my former partner, and then they asked me to join the national team to be his partner, and that's the way we teamed up.
Okay, so it's the organization that decided it.
Yeah, well, in the end, of course, it's our own choice, but they were like, hey, Jorik is defender, Stefan, you can be the blocker of the team, so if you'd like, you can team up, so and then you can be in a national program whatsoever. And we were both like, yeah, we want to be like in a national program because we just have training partners as Brouwer Musen, Varnas van der Velde every day. At that time, also about the Penninga were a team. So we had a real good program. And us being the fourth team at that moment, like a little over a year ago, we were like, yeah, let's go for it. And yeah, that's how we got together.
And turned out really, really well.
Yeah.
Okay, so Stefan, in your opinion, what is the most important quality that a beach volleyball player should have?
Commitment in whatever you do, whatever you choose in life whatsoever. For now, like I set my goal with the Eiffel Tower, I want to play in front of the Eiffel Tower in a few years, and I cannot achieve that if I don't go for my goal, if I don't commit to the plan that I have. And of course, sometimes I snack, eat a pizza, or I don't want to go training whatsoever. Everybody has that. But in the end, the main goal is you want to go there. Yeah. And how do you get there? Yeah, just fix your way, fix your path, do whatever you like. But in the end, for me, there's one thing, and that's Paris. And I'm going for that.
Yeah, let's go. So speaking about commitment, how is your training routine like?
We have three weight sessions a week, strength sessions, and then six or seven ball practices, like in a busy week. But sometimes we switched up a little to see if we're like exhausted, then we pull it down a little bit. Sometimes the coaches say, no, we want to push you even more because now we're in off season, so we can train even harder. So I think next week when we will start, we will discuss the whole program. But for last year, it was something like that. So we trained 6 days a week, and which of them are like 5-6 ball training sessions and 3 weight sessions.
I know. Yeah. The court that you guys train in is that indoor court, right?
Yeah, Zuider Park. Yeah. It's really cool. We have 6 indoor courts. And a few years ago, the De La Beach Open was there. And it was an indoor tournament. Also, the European Championships in 2018 were but outside. So they already arranged some nice tournaments on a high level. And yeah, I'm really glad to train there because it's a top facility. Yeah.
Actually, I'm kind of curious. I've been wondering, like, if you train indoors, right, does it affect you when you play outdoors because there's other factors included?
Yeah, especially the wind. You cannot train with the wind. We have a perfect indoor facility with the sand, with everything around and the weights, everything. But you cannot train with wind if you play indoor. So that's a thing we often do before we go into tournaments again, that we go maybe to Spain, Tenerife, or at least we go outside to train take some locations where we can practice with the wind again. And yeah, of course, it's different for the game. Because, yeah, if you play with wind or without, there's a lot of different techniques in how to set, how to attack whatsoever. But, yeah, that most of the time you just prepare. And then in the end, before you play tournaments, it depends on where you play a tournament. Because if you don't play like a windy tournament or a windy country, then you also don't really have to train outdoor. But, yeah, on top level, of course, you always go outdoor at a certain point. And most of the time it's just before you play tournaments.
So do you prefer wind or no wind?
I prefer a little wind, but not like real strong wind. Like Cancun had some days that it was really strong. It was terrible. But on the other hand, it also shows how capable you have to be as a professional beach volleyball player to adjust to any type of level. If you're like used to play without wind and then you have to play with wind and you lose because you don't know what to do, then you can say, yeah, hey, but it's a beach volleyball. Come on. Of course, there's wind. So sometimes I like to play with wind, but not too much, of course. But also without wind, yeah, it makes the game even better with the length of our duchies. We're all pretty tall. We can jump a little. So that, yeah, no wind is like the easiest way to play beach volleyball.
Oh, okay.
But with a little bit wind, it's more beach volleyball. So
yeah, that's
for me,
true.
But it's okay.
Yeah, speaking about the length of duchies, Netherlands is like the country with the tallest average.
yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, now that I look around and I see young guys 16, 17 already looking in their eyes when I walk in the supermarket whatsoever. So we've got a lot of tall people around here.
That's so crazy. So like you're not even considered that tall in Netherlands.
Yeah, well, I'm pretty tall for the Netherlands. But if you look into beach volleyball, for example, for now, we are the average of our training group who we are with are like we are like 201, 202 maybe. Yeah, 3 guys around the 2 meters. There are 2 guys even taller and one. Well, Jorik, he is the smallest one, but he's 193 or 192. But he's the smallest one. So, yeah, that's a good thing to be a Dutch.
yeah, perks of being a Dutch. So, Stefan, this is something that I really want to ask you. So, just last year, I met you in Langkawi one-star tournament. And in 1 year's time, you end up winning 2nd in European Championships, winning Gestart, and just beating a lot of top teams. What changed?
Well, a few things changed. Like I just said, my dedication, knowing what to do, and the fact that, okay, I will set my goal and I will go for that goal. That's one big deal. I started to join a national team. That means I had a strict coaching, a strict program, how I train, when I train. And I had a strength and conditioning coach who helped me to get even stronger, better, more fit. So those are like really basic, most important things for me to develop. And of course, also the partner, Jorik, he's a real, real big, we are 50%. We're both 50% of the team. So without him, I cannot achieve what I achieve now. So those 3 things combined, like my dedication, the program facilities that I have, and the partner who I'm playing with, I think those are the 3 things that made the most change.
Yeah. So you mentioned that you got into the national team program. So before that, it's not, but you're still representing your country.
Yeah, you play for the Netherlands, but it's not like if you play for the Netherlands in the World Tour. It's like also with other countries have it, that they have a national team program, but they also have like outside of the national program, of course, people also train at clubs or whatsoever. From there, you go internationally. So when I was playing with Dirk in Langkawi also, and before, we were sometimes training with the national program, but we were not part of the program. So we did the most of them things all ourselves. Also the fundings whatsoever, had to pay everything for ourselves. But since I'm in a national program, everything for me is covered and arranged. That's a real big perk for being in a national program. And I'm also really thankful for that I can be part of the national team, of course. And luckily I'm doing good, so I'm proving that they made the right choice last year. Yeah,
that's amazing. So, okay, I think you also mentioned this already, but what are the hopes for the future of your career?
Yeah, I hope to get more cowbells or other prizes, of course. No, but the main thing is for now is going to the Olympics, to Paris, to go there, and whatever happens or goes along the road, of course, I want to bring my best game every tournament if possible. And you won't win every tournament. Unless you're no way. Like this year, we just wanna have fun, do the best we can, and see where we can go. But in the end, for me, the goal is to go to the Olympics in Paris and to make a good result over there. And what that result may be, I don't know. If I'm fit and strong and I continue doing good, then maybe I will set my goal to be a medal. Mm-hmm. And if something happens along the way and we're, I don't know, different and just have to start over again after injury whatsoever, then maybe I'm just saying, okay, I just want to be there and that's fine for me. So it's hard to really say, okay, this is my goal on the Olympics, but for now I'm saying I want to go to the Olympics, and when I know that I can go to the Olympics, then I will settle my goal to, okay, what place do I want to finish.
That reminds me of a quote, like something like, be determined about your goal but flexible about your methods.
Actually a nice one. That's kind of how I think about it. I know where to go, I want to go there, and what I'm going to do there or how I'm going to reach it, I will see what the future will bring. But I know that I want to go for it. That's the most important thing.
Yeah, for sure. So, okay, besides beach volleyball, what else do you like to do?
Well, I just closed my PlayStation 4. I was gaming a little bit before this. So, I like to do that. I like to go also abroad, like to Spain. For now, I was coaching in Spain with volley tours for 3 weeks. That's also a big deal in my life to coach or help other people out, even if it's just more like for entertainment or if it's for bettering them, like helping them out as a real trainer. That are things that I enjoy. I live here in Den Haag, so it's Scheveningen. We have the beach here, and it's really nice. It's getting cold a little bit now, but 2 days ago on Sunday I was just having a walk around the beach just after I came back from Ibiza. But it's just lovely to be around such a nice environment. And those are things that I do in my free time.
I see, and I also noticed that you've been posting a lot of reels, right?
Yeah, I'm trying and figuring it out a little bit, like how does that work and what can I do with my laptop and my phone and whatsoever. But not that satisfied yet on how it's going, but it's improving a little bit.
It just takes time, like, honestly, but I really do enjoy watching them. It's so fun to watch.
thanks. Sometimes there are some nice highlights that I can just put in a reel for just a few seconds, but then I'm figuring out, okay, how to post it. Is it like this way, or do I have to shovel it around?
You have
or
to
zoom
shift
it in
like this.
Yeah, exactly. But then you have the whole different image, or you have to rotate your phone. So that kind of stuff. I'm looking it up how to do that. So what's online now is just the beginning.
Yeah, that's true. And the most important thing is the music. Just use famous music, then it will have more chance to go viral.
Also that one.
cool. So after retiring from the sport, what do you see yourself doing? I mean, like, it's still super long, but, you know, just let's think about it.
Yeah. This question was asked a while ago also, what would you do after sports? And I was like, I'm not done. I don't want to think about it. Mm-hmm. It's like maybe a little bit crazy. I already know what I can do. Like, I can go maybe as a coach or trainer, or I can go work in the same place where I worked before I was a professional beach volleyball player. I was a salesman in a shoe store, which I enjoyed also. It's like something totally different, but I enjoyed that really well. So for now, I have really no idea what to do, except for first getting my goals, going to the Olympics, and maybe that will open also a new path.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
If I say, okay, I want to go as a coach after my career, but something totally different happened, and I don't want this this podcast to come back. And I hope, like you said, you're gonna do this. So I'm open to anything for now, and let's see what the future holds.
I'm also like not really into like planning too much, because like you say, and literally anything can happen, and your life can just change.
Yeah, crazy. Oh, that's the door. It's okay.
Sure. I will. You want to go get it?
No, it's okay. I will. Probably the neighbors will get it also.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Sure. Stefan, what do you think are your strengths, both as an athlete and as a person?
The strength is especially that I have my focus, my goal. I know where I want to work, where I want to go in the future. And I'm just doing everything in my personal life also to set everything aside and go for that goal. And hopefully in the end, I will make it. But also with the food, whatever I do, seeing friends and family, first volleyball and then the rest. And it's kind of my life now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you feel like you're sacrificing anything?
Yeah. But I think you have to sacrifice stuff if you have a goal, if you want to do anything. And the goal can be small or big. But you have to sacrifice, and now I sacrifice a lot with friends and family, but it's a choice I make, because I know that if I'll reach my goal, my friends and family can also benefit from that later. So the moments that I'm missing now with them will, in the end, after my career whatsoever, they will enjoy being in Paris with me, hopefully. And if they're not your friends, or they don't support you in your goal, then they're just not your friends. But I know the friends that I have, they support me in what I do, and they will cheer for me whenever they can, whatsoever. And the other way around, if I can help them out in any way, when I have the possibility, then I will do that. So that's the most important thing.
For sure. And that reminds me of something I heard before, like the best gift you can give the people that you love is to give your best.
Yeah. That's nice. That's true. You cannot do more than that.
So, knowing what you know now, what advice would you give to your younger self?
Start earlier. Start earlier playing volleyball, maybe. For me, the life that I have now is just the way everything worked out. Like, if I didn't play soccer for that long whatsoever, I don't know if I would ever be here, be in beach volleyball. So the way my life has been so far is just the way it should be, probably. And but if I could change anything or give myself, my younger self, an advice, it's like, think about what you eat, think about how you train, how you work out. Like, just your body is your most important thing as an athlete. So take care of that the most. And I'm not saying you shouldn't eat bad stuff or you shouldn't drink alcohol whatsoever, but reduce it as much as possible if you want to achieve something with your body. And in my case, for the, like I said, for the last 1.5 years since Langkawi, I changed a lot, really a lot. I was like 94 kilos and I shifted up until 106, and now I'm back at 98. So I'm also like figuring out what I can eat, how much I can eat to make the best version of myself. And besides that, I've just got to train a lot and train with the ball, just get the touches going on. And but especially the food part, the how to help your body out the best possible. That's maybe one of the most important things also for me.
Nutrition. So what's your go-to food?
My go-to, well, I have every, my breakfast and my lunch are like always the same stuff. It's like pretty boring, but I always eat something like a yogurt-ish with muesli and a banana and some coffee with it. And at lunch, I always eat like 4 or 5 like sandwiches with chicken or with cheese. And sometimes some fruits to it, but it's like always that kind of same stuff. And for me, it helps. And I, of course, sometimes switch the flavors up a little bit, but that's like almost all the time that I do the same. Sometimes with some eggs, sometimes some bacon, whatsoever, but the basics are like always the same.
The base is the same. Okay, cool. So, it's already the last question, and that's really fast. Time flies. So this is a question that I ask my guests at the end of the podcast, which goes, if you could put a message on the moon for the whole world to see, what would it be and why?
Whole message. I think you have to cut this one. I have to think about that one.
Okay.
I know. Yeah. Just I don't know if I would like put up one sentence.
You can say anything, just, honestly. It's just a question.
Like, yeah, the thing that I just said. Know what you want. Like, set your goal and go for it. Like, you have to put everything aside or a lot of side to reach your goal. So, set your goal and work for that goal. Something like that.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I have to paraphrase that, but I will think of something.
Yeah. Okay.
Awesome. Okay. So, Stefan, how can our listeners connect with you and support you along your journey?
Yeah, like you already mentioned before, on Instagram, I'm doing a lot, or on LinkedIn, Facebook. You can follow me on there. I think I'm pretty active. Like, I try to post something every once or twice, 2 days. So if you want to follow my roads, just watch me there. And like you already said, the reels, I'm going into the reels more videos, mm-hmm. but I'll also put some more videos of how I train in ball sessions and in weight sessions soon. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you can watch that and see how we as Dutch pros do that.
Mm-hmm. I'm really looking forward to that.
Good one.
So, Stefan, it has been such a wonderful time speaking to you and learning from you. And I wish you all the best in your journey. But before we end, is there anything else that you'd like to say that I might have missed out or anything?
No, I think you were really well prepared. Yeah, you had a lot of questions. You know a lot of what I did last year and where I came from. So, no, they were nice questions. Thank you. Keep it going. It's good. Yeah, nice.
Okay, danke well.
Wasn't that so cool to hear about his story? So many people always ask me if it's too late for them to start learning volleyball, and from now on, I'm just gonna give Stefan as a good example that anything is possible, and now he's on the road to Paris 2024. So, if you'd like to follow his journey to Paris 2024, do give him a follow on Instagram, and I have linked his account in the description below. If you found this episode helpful, share it with your friend, your teammates, or even your coach. And if you have any questions that you would like to ask the players, or any players that you would love to hear their stories, please do send me a message on Instagram at TheVolleyTalkPodcast or use the hashtag TheVolleyTalkPodcast. Once again, thank you for joining us, and I'll see you in the next episode.